mere fluff on this stage compared to the everlastingness of eternity that we hope is in Jesus when we give our life to him. Jesus came into this brokenness to give hope. So that is a genuine response to this. But one of the problems with that response is there's no self-reflection. It's a good response. It's a correct response to many things that go on in our lives. But it's not always the case. There are times when we do have to self-reflect and go, well, is it something that I may have done? And so this morning, I'm going to look at three ways, why God potentially could allow his child to go through a trial, suffer, go through a difficult season, however you want to word it, why God would allow that. Because I read the Bible and I go, God, you're allowing this to happen in some examples. But I still want to have that overarching disclaimer just so I don't want anyone to leave here going, wow, the preacher said because of this terrible thing that happened in my life, it's because of me. I'm not saying that we are in this brokenness because of Jesus. We have hope in him. But we need to step into this one a little bit. So here is three areas where we have to look into ourselves and look into the scriptures of why or how maybe God is allowing us to go through a season of suffering. The first, maybe God is allowing you to go through this season to teach you a lesson. You see, we have kids. I believe a good, loving parent is a parent who disciplines. I think somebody shouted that out. I mean, I love my kids to death, literally. But if they were like, oh, I'm just going to do whatever I want, you know, paint on the walls or whatever, and oh, they're just being creative. No! Like from an early age, when they started painting, maybe if they went on the walls, you go, no, we go onto paper, right? You teach from an early age. They do that again, you re-educate them. If Maddie did that now, oh, right? Because you've had times, we taught you. No, we don't. We paid for this. We worked for this. Jen's just painted it. You do that, then I'm going to be in trouble, right? Okay, we don't do that. And so if you do it, there are consequences, right? Time out or whatever it may look like in your house, right? Consequences. We see that God had consequences in place even from early stages. Here's the Old Testament we got in Deuteronomy. God gave them, because he loved them and he wanted to protect them, he gave them commands. He didn't make them robots. He didn't say, you will always be protected because I'm going to make you a robot and you'll do everything I say here. No, he gave us free will. But he said, okay, but if you choose to follow these commands, you're going to keep connected with me. I'm not going to be cutting you off. You're going to be in union with me. And so it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, and then verse 7, just to kind of keep it a little short, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And then verse 7 says, impress them. So impress these laws. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, make these a big deal. I want to keep you safe here, so follow these. Here's your instructions. Just like a parent would say, okay, this is what, you know, the house rules or whatever you want to call them. First day of school, quite often teachers will give you the, you know, this is the class rules. Right from the off. Not so that they do something and go, aha, I've caught you. No, I told you right from the off, this is what we're expecting. And God says, okay, I want to keep you safe. Here you go. But as you know, as parents, when they break that, which kids tend to do, if we go, well, that's just kids, what are they going to do? They're going to do it again. And again, and so God, even from this early stage, you read through in the Old Testament, he allowed them to feel the consequences at times. He handed them over, for example, to enemies to be beaten up or allowed them to get diseases. I mean, it was extreme. He allowed this stuff to happen to teach them, say, no, you broke this command again. I gave you these commands. You broke them, so you've got to learn from this. And often the examples are pretty extreme. Here's another one, this time in the New Testament, because sometimes we go, well, that's the Old Testament God. When Jesus came, he had a kind of character change, and, you know, it's all good. Well, what about this good old story of Ananias and Sapphira? That's a fun one. Jen could have used that when talking about tithing last week. Because here's this couple, when everyone said, let's be in unity, let's just give into this, the Holy Spirit was just doing incredible work, and they're like, okay, let's just be here, community, beautiful picture, all in. This couple were like, yeah, no, we need to keep some to ourselves. But we're going to tell them we're going to do all in, but we're going to keep some to ourselves. And they go in and they deceive, they lied to the church and to God. And here's God, what happened is literally speaking through Peter, he gave them a chance to confess. They didn't. Okay, now you're going to die. What? Poof. His missus comes back in, gives her an opportunity, still continues to lie. You're going to die. What? Boom. A lesson, an extreme lesson to the early church of God's not messing around. He wants unity. He wants no one to be lying. Just imagine you were late to church that day. I know, shock horror. Anyone coming late to church? But just imagine they're thinking, it's all right, we'll just miss the notices. That's past the boring part. Okay? And they come into church and they just see these bodies wrapped up. I mean, just imagine you walking in and you've seen two bodies wrapped up. You're going, oh, yeah, no man. No, you're going, whoa, what happened there? Are you kidding me? What happened here? And people say, well, yeah, they lied, so God killed them. Just imagine I say that to you, walk in, and I'm like, yep, he lied, he's dead. I'm like, no, it'd be like a heart attack. It would be, no. God killed them. And there was a consequence. I mean, you wouldn't be late next week, but, you know. An extreme example, but if you think about it, just imagine if the consequence was, well, you lied, so next week you got to give 12%, not 10%. We'll just say that, right? And we're reading that and going, is that it? Sweet, I'll just do whatever I want. I think this is a lesson for the wider community of the millions of people that read the word and go, yeah, I'm taking God seriously. I'm taking God seriously in this. So I think sometimes we got to reflect in ourselves and go, okay, God, are you teaching me something in this? Just to ask that question. God, are you teaching me? Is there something maybe that I'm doing that is not of you and you're allowing me to feel a consequence to even just ask that question? And that's a hard one to ask, I know, because like, no, I'm perfect. Why would it be? But say, Holy Spirit, search me. Maybe you invited something in that wasn't of God. Maybe the stuff that you're continuing to do, maybe it's stuff that you never repented for. Maybe, you know, we allowed spirits that aren't of God. You know, oh, I'll play with that Ouija board and there'll be no consequences. Or I'll play with this and there'll be no consequences. Maybe. I'm not saying your situation is because of that. But saying, God, are you teaching me something in this? Is there something in me that's not of you? And that's the great thing about the redemption, the forgiveness of Jesus, that we are washed. We are washed. But maybe you are being taught a lesson. But you have to ask God for that, to speak that into your life. The second reason that God potentially could allow you to go through a season of suffering is for an opportunity to grow. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says this, trials and temptations, it's called. It said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Now, this is a great verse, but you know what? This is not a verse that you probably want to go to someone like soon as something terrible's happened to their lives or something, go, ain't that joyful? Wow, you're so blessed. Probably not, right? If they've had just terrible news hit them, the first thing you say is, wow, that's so joyful. No. This is probably one that you may afterwards look back in and reflect and go, wow, I stood firm. I kept my eyes on Jesus. I feel I've grown in this. This is a personal reflection. But something that you may be going through, and it may consider a trial, it may be you're going through just loads of temptations right now, or just facing just different battles from different angles. It may be God saying, okay, we're just growing you here. We're just maturing you, because that's what Paul says in Colossians. He says, my dream, my hope for is that I present you fully mature before God. He also says that I don't want you to just be on milk, spiritual milk. I want you to be on the fullness, the full meat. You got to grow into this. I feel sometimes it's kind of like that process of learning to ride a bike. Now, this came to me this week because that's exactly what we've been doing with Zeph. You see, Faith has now got to the stage where she can ride a bike, but with stabilizers, right? And so she's got it. Last year, she didn't understand the whole pedaling movement, so we're like, fine, that's okay. This year, we just sat her on. It's amazing how sometimes just happens. Sits her on, and she's away, and she's going around the church with this big, arrogant smile. Look at me, riding around. And she thinks she's got it. She's just so confident in herself on this big girl bike, but with the stabilizers. She feels free. It's great. Zeph was like that 2 years ago. But then last summer, he's out at the park, and he's on his bike with his stabilizers, and he's riding around, and then his buddies come flying past him because they don't have stabilizers. They're on the two wheels. And from going from a moment of going, I got this, I'm a big boy, I'm loving it, to going, oh, they were going way faster, they were going up and down the BMX trails, they were living at large. And you see it in his eyes of going, oh, I don't got it yet. But I want that. That looks great, I want that. And so this week, we've had a bit of go of, okay, it's time to do this. So I took off the stabilizers off. What do you guys call them? Training wheels, okay? So I took the training wheels off, just, you know, so we're speaking the same language here, bilingual, okay? And so we got the training wheels off, and this process is not easy. Why? Because he's used to being able to lean either side. It's good. He's safe. Now it's not so. So he's going, and he's side to side, and I'm holding him, and it's painful for him. It's painful for me because you're kind of running at that stupid angle like this. So we're running, but it's kind of, and I'm like shouting, go forward, steer forward, and he's trying to think of the right words to say, and he's going, push harder, trying to explain, the faster you pedal, the more steady you're going to get. But he's like walling side to side and side, and I'm pushing him forward, and I'm like, okay, Jen, I'm just going to do it. We're just going to do it. And so we had enough back and forward, and like, enough's enough. And so I'm like, this is the time. So he's going, and I said, Zeph, next time I'm going to let go, and you will probably fall. Because I thought, let's do this. Let's just be honest. I said, ride a bike, you will fall. Suck it up. It's going to happen, okay? So this time, we're going for it, and we're wobbling side to side, and I'm like, okay, just go. I'm like, 3, 2, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get somebody shouting at me. 3, 2, 1, and off we go. Now, as I let him go, my first thing I kind of thought in reflection, when you let the kid go, you don't go, I hope he's okay, I hope he's okay, I hope he's okay. No, because you're running too, and I let go, and then suddenly I'm running next to him, and he's there wobbling side to side, and then he just gets it, and he just starts pedaling faster, and I'm like, you're doing it, and I'm totally surprised. I'm like, you're doing it. And I'm running alongside him, and I'm going, yes, you've got it. And like when he's concentrating, his tongue sticks out. So he's like, he's running around like that. And I'm running next to him, like, you got it. I mean, I'm buzzing, like, probably more than he is. I'm going, you've got this. And he's like, yeah. I mean, steering was still a little off, and, you know, and all the rest. And braking's another, that's next week's challenge. But I'm like, he's got it. Literally, as soon as we got him to a halt, gravity halted him. But still, that's fine. He went, BMX track, okay? So I'm like, Jan's like, no. And I'm like, no, let's do it. Let's go. So I take him to the BMX track. It's like he's went like 100 yards. I'm thinking, you're totally qualified, you know. And so off we go. And literally within about, I don't know, 10 foot, bang. And he's like got these big, like his knees are bleeding. And I'm like, yeah, you got this, you know. So you'll ask him about his hours. He'll go, look at my hours. Look at this. But already you see him just so excited going, I get this. This is it. He looked at his buddies and like, that's where I want to go. And see, sometimes spiritually, we're kind of safe in the training wheels. Those wheels just keeping us in place. Spiritually, we're like, I'm okay because if I fall, the church will support me. I got my connect group. Or maybe it's even, I know I'm going to get my feeding. That's why I come to church. That's where I get my feeding from God. It's safe. You feed me. You see some saintly people and you go, look at the way they thrive in their faith, the way they just serve and give of themselves and do some awesome stuff, how God is just blessing them. Oh, I'd love to just be there to see that. At some stage, they kicked off those training wheels and said, I'm going to make this faith my own. I'm going to dive into this. I'm going to put this into practice. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to give of myself. Even though our society is saying to us, no, protect, conserve, you know, look out for your own protection and future and stuff, these people are probably going, actually, I'm going to trust Jesus in this. And that's why we're seeing these saintly people going, wow, look at them just thrive in their faith. And boy, it would have been trials and wobbles, but look at them. And at some point, we've got to go, am I willing to fall? Am I willing to get those scabby knees? Or do we know that as soon as something bad happens, it's, oh, nope, I quit. It draws perseverance. That's why I told Zeph, you will fall. Because I didn't want him to suddenly have a realization, oh, no one told me you fall. I don't want this. It's like in Christianity, sometimes we give a picture of, oh, yeah, it's all rosy. It's all good. And then when something bad happens, when maybe the enemy attacks or whatever, we're like, oh, you didn't tell me about that. But that's a reality. To go, actually, yeah, there is trials. There is persecution. But you know what? If you root yourself, that's why we have that as a health check. And we're rooting ourselves to go, I don't want to be tossed like a wave in the ocean. I want to be rooted to you to grow in this, to grow in my maturity. So maybe God is actually allowing you to go through this so that you root into him and not flee. To go, no, I'm in this. Because I desire to grow and just who you've called me to be. And that links to the third. Your suffering or your trial may be for you just to know that you are a child of God. Because when Zeph looked at his buddies and they were riding around, and it was in the summer, they're in the shorts. Guess what their knees look like? They had the band-aid, the scrapes. They're like, oh, look at this one. I tell you, I don't think I've ever met a saintly person that doesn't bear some scars. Maybe physically, spiritually, emotionally. That's the beauty of church, where we journey and we can show each other our scars. So that when somebody comes into that connect group with an open wound and go, man, this week's been tough, that we could go, yeah, let's pray into that. Let's talk about that and say, hey, this scar, that was because of this. Or this moment in my life that happened. And this is how I dug in. But this is the result that I just have grown in this faith. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's a mark of who we are. Do you think Satan wants you to be going to your work tomorrow and proclaiming the love of Jesus? Of course he's going to try and put something in there. You may have your plans all read out. You might have your testimony written out. It's always amazed me around baptism time. I remember doing our first baptisms, I think, in Wales. It's all a learning lesson, but we look back and go, yeah, I could have done a better job at equipping them of knowing you are going to face some stuff here. You are proclaiming, because they're like, I'm inviting my buddies from work, and it's going to be great. You know, they had this great scheme, a great plan of just outwardly showing who they are. And then the week of, I was getting calls after call of just trial, and I don't think I could do it. And I was like, okay, let's talk. It's a mark that Satan doesn't want you to proclaim in this, or he doesn't want you to be thriving in this. It's a mark to say, I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. I've got these scars. I've got these scabby knees. I'm happy to share them. I'm happy to talk about them. And they look different to each person. But know that you are not on your own. Know that when you're going through a trial, you are not on your own. That your brothers and sisters around the world were also going through trials. And that's the beauty of community, of journeying. That's the beauty of mentoring. When the flesh wounds come in and the guy's like, yeah, let me talk about some of these scars. Let me pray with you. Let me journey with you. The stuff that you may be going through right now, you may go, I don't know why. And you may pray into them, you still don't know why, but maybe afterwards. But I do believe there's a purpose. I don't believe God's a fluke. I believe there is purpose. But ultimately, our purpose in life is just to give glory. It's just to cry out to Heavenly Father. Again, using that illustration of the parent and the child with the bike, I was running alongside Zeph. I didn't close my eyes. I didn't kind of go, oh, Jen, is he okay? Let me know. I was with him. I was running with him. Yes, he was going to fall. I was allowing my child to fall and scrape his knee. But the first thing he did when he went on that BMX trail and fell over is he looked. Looked for his mom and dad. Just a reassurance. And there we are. It's good. You're good. No. That your Heavenly Father is with you. Jesus says that. He promises that. He gives the Great Commission. He says at the end of it, and know that I am with you always. So that, yes, when you scab your knee, that you can turn and know, oh, God is with me in this. I can experience him. That's where we get his peace, his presence. I can do all things when I kick those training wheels off. And I live it. But then you also might be sitting here going, yeah, but this still sucks. Well, know this. God allowed his son to suffer. He suffered persecution. He was hated. He suffered physical pain. He experienced sorrow. He felt abandoned. He felt temptation. He was rejected. He felt at times overwhelmed. I mean, that night before the cross, he felt overwhelmed. He faced death. Know that God is with you. And Jesus went through all that so that he is our living hope. So that in those suffering, in those trials, when it looks like we're going to fall and swivel around on that bike, to know we have hope in Jesus. And then we bear those marks because we are children of God, and don't allow Satan, don't allow anything to try and steal that, because it is the truth. Because sometimes we think those things, oh, why would he? Yes, he does. He loves you. You are a child of God, and he delights in you. Just like when you see a child do something, when I was buzzing with Zeph on the bike, he was happy, but I was delighted in what he just did. I saw on Facebook and this week, and Kim put on about Ben playing a little bit of Joyful, Joyful. You could just tell there would be just buzzing in that household, going, yes, Ben, like, ooh, look, I'm playing. But they're like, look at you! Right? And that's what God is with us, is when you're pressing in, you keep pedaling. He's like, look at you, you're doing it. You're a child of mine. God is with us. And this week, know that no matter what we go through, our Father is with us, and he loves you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, that we are your children, that you call us your children. And it's not because we do anything great. That's the amazing thing about it. It's just because you are love. Lord, teach us in that moment that we're in. Maybe what we're going through is stuff that too teaches a lesson. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you reveal that to us and that we grow from that. Maybe it's just a moment to grow in life and maturity, to dig deep into you. Well, help us to press on. Give us that strength that comes from you. Help us be a community that reminds each other that we bear these scars, that we're in a world that there is suffering. But thank you, Jesus, you overcame this world, that you came and you suffered. You know the pains, you know the sorrow. But there is hope, there is life in the name of Jesus. You are above all, you are in all, you are supreme, and you are our Heavenly Father, and you are with us. That is awesome. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. We praise you for that. You are a name above all names. And we get to cry out, you are our Abba Father, you're our Daddy. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so of the world. Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all.
Benediction from Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have a blessed week.